So if they were already saved, why would he tell them to work out something they already have? Well, I think the answer comes in a biblical understanding of salvation. You see, the Bible portrays our salvation in three tenses. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you venture into an area that has caused many people to stumble, primarily because we just don't understand what the Scripture is saying here.
Dave, today the passage we're going to look at is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, and this passage tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, over the years, there's been many viewpoints on what the Apostle Paul is saying here, and I have to say that even in the midst of popular teachings, there are a lot of incorrect interpretations of these verses. So it's important that you listen, that you ask God to give you understanding and insight as His Word is proclaimed. I believe if the church were to grasp and obey these truths contained in these two short verses, that we would see a change in the lives of believers in unparalleled proportions. Again, the passage today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you were to go to many different churches this Sunday, you might find many different ways to live the Christian life. You might find different paradigms and programs or whatever it might be to do what God calls you to do. You know, years ago, there was a heretical book that came out, The Purpose-Driven Life. It was there to tell you how to live the Christian life. And yet the reality was it was missing the main focus, the main point of the Christian life, which is Christ. We're going to see today that the only way we can live the Christian life is if God is living His life out through us. Would you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and we're going to see just that. How are we to live the Christian life? We're going to see that we are to be working out what God is working in. Now, in the book of Philippians, we've been looking at it, just a brief review of the context. It's about 62 AD. The Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He expects to go before Caesar. He may live or die. He is very close to the Philippian church in which he writes. About 10 years earlier, he was graced with the good news to bring to them, and we have Lydia and her household coming to faith, the Philippian jailer and his household coming to faith. And the Apostle Paul loves this church, and they love him. And we see that he is concerned about them, but he wants to share, first of all, he is thankful. And that's what we see in the beginning of the letter, that he is thankful for God's past work in this group of true believers. And that he is confident that God will complete that work that he began. And we saw within that, that he wanted for them, and we see for us, and Paul, inspired by the Spirit, that we would grow in understanding and knowledge, that we would gain a greater love, in a sense, that the love of Christ would abound in true knowledge and discernment in our lives, that we would be able to discern the excellent things, to make right choices in Christ. And he made it clear of his circumstances that God was using the circumstances of his imprisonment for good, for his glory, and that's what Paul wanted, was Christ to be magnified. And we saw that whether he lived or died, Paul's attitude was to live as Christ, to die as gain. But the Spirit of God had made it clear to Paul, basically, that he was going to continue on and that he would need to continue on to be useful for the faith of Philippians, as we saw. Now, after sharing his circumstances, he changed to the circumstances of the Philippians. And we saw that the commands went to them, but for us, that we are to walk as heavenly citizens, worthy of the manner of the gospel. We are to be standing firm and striving together for the truth. And we are to know and not be afraid of our opposition, knowing that lack of fear of them and trust in Christ is a sign of destruction for them, but yet salvation for us. And then we came into chapter 2 where we saw how we could maintain unity in the church by thinking like Christ. And we saw that in practice, that as true believers have the mind of Christ functioning, the same mind, we're going to be regarding one another as supreme over ourselves. We're going to be scoping out, looking for ways, aware, to see others as more important than ourselves. And that comes when God's Word is working in your heart in the midst of your everyday life. God prompts you and turns your heart to have a desire to see others as more important than yourself. And we saw how this can be done. The only way it can be done is to have the mind of Christ. And we were given the perfect example that we were to have. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we see that although he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but took the form of a bondservant. And being found in the likeness of men, being as a man, he humbled himself, right? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're to have that mindset of humble obedience before the Lord, that God's will would be done, and that will manifest in seeing others as more important than ourselves, specifically the Lord God and His will as we obey Him and thus serve one another. And then we saw, because of Christ's great humility, taking on humanity to die for our sins, that He was greatly exalted and given the name that is above all names, that the name of Jesus, though the name He possesses, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And within that, we come to our passage today. And so we're going to see how we are to live the Christian life. When specifically, we're going to see that we are to be working out what God has and is working in. Verse 12, chapter 2 of Philippians. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. This is a fabulous portion of Scripture, and I believe it is one of the most succinct and perfect summaries of the Christian life. It's a fabulous portion of Scripture, and I believe we're going to see within this how we are to live the Christian life. We're going to first of all see the mandate to be working out our salvation. Then we're going to see the manner in which we are to do it, and then the means in which we are able to do it. So first of all, how are we to do it? Let's take a look at the mandate. Notice we are commanded to keep working out our salvation. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The main phrase in our passage is just this: work out your salvation. That's the main passage. That's the main portion of this passage. And it is an imperative command. That means God is commanding us through Paul, inspired by the Spirit, to do this. It's in a plural. You all, Philippians, and applying to us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And obviously, this command to continually, habitually work out our salvation with fear and trembling is directed to believers. For as we will see, only believers have salvation to truly work out. Only believers are saved. And notice he's directing this simply to that, to believers in Philippi. So then, my beloved. The Apostle Paul was very close to the Philippian church, and they were very close to him. You see that. You'll see that in chapter 4, that when other churches didn't send anything, they sent for his needs. They were very gracious and faithful to support the Apostle Paul. They loved him and he loved them. They were concerned about him within his imprisonment. And he says, so then, my beloved, they are his beloved. And notice our passage also starts with this term, so then. You could say, for this reason, or therefore. And so it's connected to what has previously been seen, what we've seen in Philippians. And what have we just seen? We've seen a set of commands for the Philippians. A set of commands for each and every one of us to do. First of all, conduct your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 27. Chapter 2, he said, make his joy complete by being of the same mind. We were to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than ourselves. We're to not merely look out for our own personal interests, but for the interests of others. And the last command they were given was, have this mind which was in Christ Jesus. So then, with these things in mind, plus keying off the wonderful exaltation of Christ as Lord, which every knee will bow, He's the Lord, and His example of being obedient Himself, humbling Himself, so then you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so we look at that and we say, what does He mean by that? Work out your salvation, or keep working out your salvation. It's to believers, obviously. Now notice our text does not say work for your salvation. It doesn't say that, but says work out. And there are some who would heretically misinterpret this passage and twist it to make it say what it doesn't say. To bring a false gospel that you should work for your salvation rather than what it says here, to work out. But we know that if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've been justified by faith and not works, Romans chapter 4. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that one is saved. It is not to work for your salvation, it is to work out something you already possess. And it's very clear the Philippians were saved. Look back earlier in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to what? All the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. He's writing to saints, not to ain'ts. He's writing to believers, those who have been set apart. They are holy because of Jesus Christ. And if you look in verse 6, he says, for I am confident this very thing, that he who began a good work will perfect it, right? And in verse 7, the end of it, you are all partakers of grace with me. This is to believers. This is not to non-believers, not to fake believers, not to make believers. This is to believers. So if they were already saved, why would he tell them to work out something they already have? Well, I think the answer comes in a biblical understanding of salvation. You see, the Bible portrays our salvation in three tenses. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were justified. We were declared righteous because of Christ. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, when Jesus Christ paid the price for us by shedding His blood, paid the full price for our sins, when we trusted in Him for salvation, His righteousness was applied to our account, and we were declared by God to be righteous. We were justified. We were justified by faith. We have been saved already. For by grace you have been saved. But yet we also have a present tense experience of salvation. And that's what Scripture describes as sanctification. We were first initially set apart from sin unto God when we were saved. Now we're being set apart from sin, practically speaking, in our daily lives unto the Lord. We are being set apart for His glory. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we also see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God is sanctifying us, as we'll see, by the Spirit through His word in the context of faith. Our salvation is ongoing right now as God is saving us, in a sense, from our daily sins to walking more rightly with Him, being set apart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. And then it's through a present tense sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. He chose us to save us, thus to sanctify us. This is the will of God, he would write back in 1 Thessalonians 4, your sanctification. That's part of our salvation. And then we have the future tense of salvation. Like we saw in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I'm confident that the work he began, he will complete. And then we have in Romans chapter 13, the reality that our salvation, the ultimate culmination of our salvation, is closer to us than when we first believed. This is a wonderful statement. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. That's that future tense salvation of being glorified with the Lord. It's closer every day. Isn't that great? You think you're getting older? Well, you're getting closer to be with Jesus, right? It's closer every day. And so we have three tenses of salvation. We have past, present, and future. And what our passage is speaking about is the present tense reality of salvation. What God has done in us and thus is doing in us because He is in us. We're to work that out. But what does that mean? Verse 13, so then, my beloved, Paul is very close to them, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now we're going to look at the beginning of this verse in a minute, but take a look at the command more specifically. This term work out, or translated work out, is an interesting term. It comes from the Greek word ergazomai, and it has an intensive force to it, kat ergazomai. Well, what's ergazomai? It's kind of where we get our term ergon for, which we get the term work from, but it's a more intensified version of it. The term ergazomai means to work out or to bring forth something, but when you add that intensive kata on there, it means to fully accomplish something, fully bring it forth. There are other places in Scripture where this same verb is translated as such, brings about, produces. And, you know, we have trials. It produces endurance, right? It brings about something to its conclusion. Accomplished, performed, carried out. It speaks of achieving something through labor. Achieving something through labor. So with that in mind, it speaks of bringing something to its ultimate conclusion. It speaks of not simply the work, but the goal of that work. You see, Greek language is a very wonderful language. It's very explicit and it's very visual. Not simply the work, but the goal of that work involved. So you say, okay, we're not to be working for our salvation. I understand that because we already possess it. But what does it mean to work it out? What does that really mean in practical terms? Well, we have to look specifically and notice that our passage, first of all, is connected to what we saw before. Therefore, right, and what did we see before? That Jesus Christ, as our perfect example, we were to have His mind who was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Right? We are to be like Christ, obedient. And our passage actually shows that truth. The context of our passage shows that working out our salvation speaks of obedience. Look back in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always what? Obeyed. That phrase cannot stand on its own. It has to be connected to something else. Just as you have always obeyed. That's only partial, right? Just as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation. Just as you have always done so. Now he says, he modifies that, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's speaking of obedience. It's speaking of the mind of Christ actually functioning in reality. You know, often we think like Christ, but we don't function like Christ. We don't actually do what He says. And if we're a hearer and not a doer, we're in trouble, as we'll see. Our salvation should be working out of us. And that's what Paul is saying. He's actually saying it is working out. Work it out like it always has been. But even more so now that I'm not around you. So then, my beloved brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but also now much more around my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The issue is obedience. As a humble servant, in the likeness of Christ, in terms of His mindset. Folks, we were saved to learn God's Word and then obey God's Word. We weren't saved to learn God's Word and never obey Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, or what people call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. You see, we're going to see that sanctification is about obedience from a changed heart, an empowered life. It's about obedience. It's about doing the right thing empowered by Christ. which many Christians choose not to do, and many Christians don't fear and tremble at the idea of not doing what is right. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore, and the verb here, the command is make disciples. And he's going to say how you do it. There's two ways, the two ing words. Make disciples of all the nations. One, baptizing them. That means, hey, you don't disciple someone who's not saved, right? They can't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus if they haven't been saved and outwardly brought forth that declaration, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then what? Verse 20. Teaching them to what? Observe. The word means keep. It means obey. Teaching them to obey. We don't just simply come here to be taught. You come here to be taught to obey the Lord. And that's some people's problem sometimes. They come to be taught, but they never obey. Jesus would say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If he is the exalted Lord, which he is, in which every knee will bow, therefore, as we have obeyed already, we should keep obeying him if we're real believers, right? As I mentioned earlier in James chapter 1, we see that there are those who are not saved. Those who are not saved who hear the word but don't do it because they don't have a salvation to work out. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. By the way, the word is what God uses to bring about a new birth, right? Born again through the living and abiding word. And it's the same thing he uses to change us and sanctify us. And he says, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you come here week after week after week and you hear the word of God and yet you don't obey Christ from a changed heart, you are deluding yourself. And notice what he says. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, that's the word of God, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in what he does. What did the Lord Jesus do in his summary on his teaching on the Mount? His final illustration was about those who build on the rock and who build on the sand. And what did he say the ones who build on the rock on? They are those who hear the word and do it. And those who build on the sand, they hear the word, but they don't do it because they're not building on the right foundation, right? They can't, as we'll see. They don't have a salvation to work out. So back in our passage, we see that we are to be working on our salvation. And Paul makes this point clear in Romans chapter 6 also. He says, but thanks be to God, through you were slaves to sin, you became obedient.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some ways to begin to apply this message to my life today.
You know, Dave, the first step is to evaluate your own walk with Christ. Are there areas of sin or direct disobedience that you're participating in? If so, identify them, confess them, repent and turn from them. So in light of God's convicting word, take the time, come before God and ask him to reveal if there are any areas of sin and rebellion that you may be holding on to. And when he shows you through his word where to make those changes, just do it by his power and strength. And folks, this should be a regular part of our spiritual walk with Christ. We need to be watching over our hearts with all diligence, as the Word would say, examining and evaluating ourselves, then confessing and repenting when needed. So start today. Take an honest look inside. Let the Holy Spirit do His work in you so that you can begin working out your salvation with fear and trembling.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.